Afternoon, actually, yes. I'm so used to it being morning when we have service. I want to ask you this morning, what changes you? What makes you different as an individual, as a person, but most of all, as a Christian? You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be transformed, changed. What's the definition of transformation? A thorough or dynamic change in its form of appearance. A thorough or dynamic change. So as Christians, we should be changed in a large way, in a big way. People should see something different about our appearance, about how we act, about the way the things that we do, if we're truly going to be transformed. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true, perfect worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need to be transformed to God's will. But you know, when we face things in life, there's things and events and people who have changed us. We've all been on this earth long enough to can look back at our lives and see something that has changed us. An event. It may be this pandemic. It's definitely changed this congregation. Turn around and look around. This pandemic has changed Edge Hill. Good Lord's got plans for each and every one of us in this congregation, and we need to have the faith and realize that no matter who's here, God's got a plan. He's going to transform us as a congregation if He needs to. His perfect plan. But as we go through this lesson, I want you to think about those events and those people who have changed your life, who have made you who you are today. I want to start off by giving you two examples of my own life. You know, when I was growing up in high school, that was a huge struggle for me. I was in high school, was unable to read. What I read to you back then, I couldn't get halfway through it. I struggled with my dyslexia. To the point that they wanted me to quit high school at the 10th grade. They wanted me to drop out, and they had it lined up for me to go to Stroh Schneider's and become a mechanic, because I was mechanically inclined. You know, that moment in my life is probably one of those moments that turned me around, that changed my life and my perspective. Because, you know, you're on the borderline of, I'm not good enough. Or I'm going to prove them wrong. But I had a guidance counselor who took me in and says, I'll help you through this. Any class that you're struggling with, you come in to leave that class and come see me and we'll get through this together. My 11th grade year in high school had two governments, two histories. Probably one of the hardest subjects you had, I had two of them. That year, I made AB honor roll. Because somebody was willing to say, yet you have value. And that taught me right then and there that no matter what the world tells you, no matter what other people tells you, you can overcome anything. You know, one of the greatest things I wanted to be in high school was be a gospel preacher. I wanted that more than anything. And that taught me then, with the Lord's help, I can overcome anything. That event changed me dramatically because I was able to graduate. I'm able to hear, maybe not when I get nervous and not read that well, but I'm able to read in front of all of y'all people when I wasn't before. The other event that changed my life was when my mom passed away, because she was my biggest advocate throughout my whole life. Throughout all my struggles, she never gave up on me. She was smart. Because when I say that I want to give up on reading, she pull out a mechanic's book and say, hey, you want to be a mechanic? Read this. You want to be able to fix this? Read that. She found things I was interested in, and she probed and prodded. So when I lost her, that was a big impact on my life. Because I lost her at age 19 years old, when I was still young, when I still needed that guidance, when I still needed that help. I even turned my back into the church. But you know what brought me back to the church? Was this congregation here. And the remembrance of how my mom handled things in life. People ask me, because me and Kim were totally different. She's a little spicy, my mom a little reserved. So ask me, why don't I worry about things? Or why don't I struggle with things? Or why do I get upset? That's one of the things Kim said. Why don't you just get mad? I said, well, it's not worth getting mad over. I was changed by my mom throughout her years. Ecclesiastes, verse 3, verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11 says this. Well, excuse me, let me back up. Galatians, verse 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And again, such things are not in the law. Those were things that I remember about my mom. She was kind. She was gentle. She was faithful to the very end. So she impacted my life. High school impacted my life. So, as you think about people and events, what changes us? How do we change as Christians? Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11 tells us this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternal in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. The verses that were read talk about the beginning. If we realize and understand what God is able to do, He created all of this. He created every one of us in here. He created everything out there. Tell me He can't control what's going on in this world. Tell me He can't control what's going on in your life if you let Him. Tell me He can't control what's going on in this congregation. Or with this pandemic, or with whatever struggles that you may be going through right now, God has it under control. We got to realize that God can change us and make a difference in our lives. In Psalms, verse 32, verse 8, chapter 32, verse 8 tells us this. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eyes on you. He'll show us anything that we need to do in life. Wherever we need to go, He can show us. But He also does it with the loving eyes. His whole intent is for our best interest. Tell me that can't change you, who you are. Knowing that we have an all-powerful God, all-overwhelming God who created all of this, who loves us and keeps His loving eyes on us, and is willing to show us the proper way. He can change us, no matter who we think we are, no matter where we think we are in life, no matter what struggles we have, He can change us, our everyday lives. You know, Satan tells us all the time, you can't, you're unable, you're not good enough, or you're not strong enough, or you're not faithful enough. God looks with loving eyes and shows us the way. He shows us the way that we need to go. Satan tries to play the opposite side, but we got to understand that we can be transformed, not by our abilities, but through God's abilities. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 tells us this, "For I know the plan I have for you, declared the Lord. A plan to prosper for you, not to harm you. A plan to give you hope and a future." If we let the Lord take control of our life, if we trust Him, you know, that's where we struggle the most in life, is trusting God, having faith in God. We look at the world around us, we look at this pandemic, or we look at the situation that we're here at Edge Hill, and we go, how in the world are we going to get out of this? But look, there's a van out there we thought we never would get. But He made it happen. And you look at your life, and you go back and look at your life and where all the different struggles is, and you look back and you go, how in the world did I get through that? God has a plan for you. To prosper you. To make you do well. But we got to have the willingness to be able to do that. So, you are truly changed. Then how? If you look at what God's done for you and you say, yes, I'm truly changed, and I look at my life and I see all the events I've went through, the good, bad, and the ugly, and I try to say, I'm changed, then how am I changed? How is it going to affect me from this point forward? What am I going to do for the Lord from this day forward? If I can look back at our lives, could I guarantee each and every one of you can have got a story just like mine? You can come up here and tell and testify on your behalf what God has done for you throughout your life. How people have changed you. How events have changed you and made you different. If it changed you, then how? How are you going to be changed? John 14, verse 12 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And great works, then, these things he do because I go unto my Father. We can accomplish great things for God. That's what you need to understand. You might be saying, oh, I don't have the ability to make a difference in life. I don't have the ability to make a difference in somebody else's life as a Christian. You're right. But you let God work through you. You have all the ability that you need to make a difference. All the ability to make a difference here, in this congregation, in your family, at work, outside there. You have the ability if you let God work through you. Galatians 2, verse 20 tells us this. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ liveth in us. I am crucified with Christ. Russ brings it up all the time. The cross was only designed for one purpose, and that's to die on. It's not going to be easy. Being a Christian is going to be a struggle. Being a Christian is going to come with sacrifice and pain and suffering. But in the end, it's all worth it. And the Lord won't put you through no more than you can handle. But you've got to be willing to sacrifice, give up all of the world, to be transformed into a new person and to make the world a difference. If you're going to be changed, then how are you going to be changed? Matthew 5 14 through 16 tells us this. Ye are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You know, we all know that verse. You don't put a candle under the bowl. You put it on top of it. You put it on a candlestick, some virgin tell you. You can make the difference. You can be the light that the world needs. The guidance the world needs. Without you, the world is lost. We are workers for the Lord, and if we're not out there doing His will and His work, then who is? Who's going to do it? I keep saying it to the ladies all the time when we were in Bible classes. The faithful few. No matter what size our number is, we are the faithful few, and if we don't do it, then who will? And that's what we need to realize. And those who are watching this morning, you're the faithful few. Out there as well. You've got to understand, you've got to be able to make a difference. You've got to be willing to make a difference. Why be transformed if you're not going to make the difference? That's what we need to understand. I want to close with this verse. Those pocket sermons are short, ain't they nice? I want to end with this verse, but I think it has a huge impact. Luke 23:44-49 tells us this. And it was about the ninth hour, the darkness overcome the whole land until the third in the afternoon. For the sun stopped shining, and the ceiling and the curtains of the temple were torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last breath. The centurion, seeing what happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." With all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw and took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the woman who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance and watched these things. You know, when the same ones who were crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And when he gave up his last breath, they realized there was something different about this event. There was something a whole lot more than just their typical crucifixion. They realized they crucified the Son of God. They were touched to the heart. They were pricked to the heart. They were beating on their chest, and they realized what just occurred. The sacrifice that was made. Put yourself in front of that cross right now. How would you react realizing that Christ died for you? Today or then, doesn't matter. The events have not changed. They still occur. He still died for you, and he's still there to make a difference. You know what the difference is this morning? Is what are we going to do about it? Are we going to march forward for the Lord? Or are we going to be intimidated by the world and just kind of lay low, appease the world, not say a whole lot, not do a whole lot, not make a difference, not be truly changed? Then you're truly not transformed this morning. If you look at what the Lord has done for you and you see the impact he should have on your life, from this moment on, it should make a difference. I don't care where you're at in your Christian life. I don't care if you're a strong Christian, middle Christian, or a weak Christian. Once you understand this, wherever you're at, it should move you, and you should change. You know why? Because we're not perfect. We've all sinned, we all fall short, and we always are striving to do better. So this morning, with this little pocket sermon, I hope it encouraged you this morning to strive to do better from this point on. I know I need to. I'm right. I can sit down and be with y'all together this morning because I need this lesson. I need from this point on to start making a difference. Better than I did yesterday. Do better for tomorrow. I don't know what your struggles are this morning. I don't know what you'd be facing this morning. But I know that as a congregation, we can do it together. And I know God's got this. You've heard me say that so many times. God's got this. So if there's anything that we can do for you, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.